Okay, this evening now, Psalm 135, and I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased. Now that's a wide subject. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he does. He does his will in heaven. He worketh all things after the counsel of his will in heaven and in earth. And in the seas, everywhere, in all deep places, what is the Lord pleased to do? Now, I want to consider from the scripture this evening what the Lord, our God, is pleased to do for us and in us through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, our Savior, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says, whatsoever the Lord is pleased to do, the Lord is great, that our Lord's above all gods, he's talking about our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Almighty who has all power in heaven and in earth. This psalm is much like Psalm 115. You remember over Psalm 115, turn over there just a moment. Verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's our God. He doesn't ask our permission. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. This psalm is much like Psalm 115, where the Lord draws a sharp contrast between a true and living God who works all things according to his will, and with the contrast of the mere idols of men that are dead, useless gods, idols of men that bring nothing to people but false hope and a refuge of lies. The idols of the heathen, verse 15, are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They cannot help us. Verse 18 says, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusts in them. Would you trust in a dead, cold, useless, idol God? Not if God's granted you saving faith. To be occupied with right thoughts about God as he's revealed in Scripture will increase our faith, encourage our hope, inspire our love for him. The way to have strong and true faith is to trust the Almighty God. He is the object of our faith because he is a strong, almighty God. Saving faith lays hold of and looks to him, like Abraham, who was strong in faith, giving glory unto the Lord, being fully persuaded that all that God had promised, he's able. He's able to do his will in heaven and in earth. And I'm so thankful, because whatever he does is right. Whenever he does it is right. It's good. Now let's take a look at verse 1 and 2 for a moment. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord. That's what the servants of the Lord do. They serve him. They worship him. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. In the courts of the house of our God. Believers, that is servants, are told to praise the Lord. That is their delight. That is their desire. To honor him and to glory only in him. How many times do we read in the book of Psalms, praise ye the Lord? I don't know how many times. You could look that up, but it has to be many times. The book of Psalms starts out with praise ye the Lord. And then the last verse of the book of Psalms, he said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And the other statement that is made here, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord and bless the Lord. Look at verse 19. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. And ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. That's worship. That is worshiping the true and living God. To bless the Lord and to praise the Lord is heart worship. Heart worship in mind, will, with our affection set on things above. You cannot overdo worship, can you? Can you worship the Lord too much? He said to worship Him in spirit and in truth, that He seeketh such to do so. Oh, that we might be enabled to worship God as He ought to be worshiped. You cannot give Him too much honor, too much glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, and power, both now and forever. That's our delight. That's our desire. That's our privilege, to worship God as He ought to be worshiped. As Paul said, God forbid we should glory save in the cross of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verses 3, 4, and 5, he gives us four valid reasons that we should worship the Lord, that we should praise the Lord, that we should bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, as David says in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord for or because. Here's reason number one. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. We studied that last week, didn't we? In Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord, because the Lord is good. Everything He does is good. There is none good but one, and that is God. There is none good but our gracious and holy God. All that He does is good. He's too wise to do wrong. He's too holy to make a mistake. God alone is the author and source of all goodness. He does everything well, good, and right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right, good, absolutely, and always? And He does. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. So, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. The second reason is found in verse 3. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. God has given Him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord, worship the Lord for His name. His name is pleasant. His name is pleasant. To you who believe, He is altogether precious. To you who believe, He is altogether lovely. His name is pleasant because His person is pleasant. Unto us, a child is born, a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is Wonderful, Wonderful, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't refer to Him as Jesus this and Jesus that. We often sing those or say those words in our hymns because that's the way they're written. But whenever I am speaking, especially preaching or bringing a gospel message, it's always Christ the Lord, or the Lord our Savior, or the Lord our God, or the Lord Jesus Christ. I never refer to Him as just Jesus, because He's the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Ralph Barner said to those people back in April of 1950 when he came to Ashland preaching the gospel. And they were singing a song about Jesus this and Jesus that. And he got up and said, Jesus can't save a flea. Shocked the people to death. What is that old man talking about? He said, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that saves. If he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. Sing praises unto his name. Oh, years ago I did a study through the Word of God about his name. I don't know if you remember or not, starting with A, advocate, all the way through the alphabet, his name. And it's vast. It's vast. I think I brought 7 or 8 different messages on the name of the Lord throughout the Word of God. The third reason is found in verse 4. For the Lord hath chosen us unto salvation. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself. Now, Jacob was not one whit better than Esau. They were both vile, wretched sinners. But Jacob was a conniver, a cheat, and supplanter. And yet God said, I love Jacob and hated Esau. God set his love on Jacob. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he does. God took that Jacob and made him and changed his name to Israel, the Prince of God. The Lord had chosen us unto salvation. Remember Malachi 3? He said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Had not the Lord chosen us, we never would have chosen him. We're going to see that in our message this evening. What did it please the Lord to do? It pleased the Lord to choose a people. Our Lord said, you didn't choose me. I've chosen you. I've ordained you. Thank God he chose us. The Lord hath chosen, elected, set his love on a people to himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. We are his delight. We are his treasure. His peculiar, purchased people. We should show forth the praises of him who hath purchased us and chosen us. Now, here's the fourth reason found in verse 5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. His name is pleasant. He's a God of electing love, electing grace. Verse 5, I know that the Lord is great. Praise the Lord, for he is great. Great. How great is he? We sing that song, oh, how great thou art. How great is the Lord? That our Lord is above all. He is above all. All men, all angels, all gods, all idols, all devils, angels good or evil. The Lord is above all. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. The Lord is above all. Turn over a few pages and let's read another reference about that. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great. Every day will I bless the Lord. I will praise thy name. Verse 2. Psalm 145. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Verse 8. Psalm 147, verse 5. Turn over there. Great is the Lord. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He's the everlasting God. How great is our God. He is our great Savior who gives us so great salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost all those that come to God by him. He is our great Savior. What do great sinners need? They need a great Savior who is able to save. He is our great Redeemer. He is a Redeemer who really puts away sin by his own blood. He obtained for us eternal redemption. He is a great Redeemer. We are redeemed with his precious blood. Oh, he's a great Redeemer. He's a great Savior. He's a great Mediator. He's a great Advocate. a great intercessor, one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about this one too. He's our great high priest. He's our great high priest who has somewhat to offer. What did he offer? He offered up himself. When he by himself, with himself, purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of God. We desire to praise him, to bless his name, the Lord our God, for there is none like him. He's our great God and Savior. Look at verse 6. How great is our God and Savior? In creation, he's great. Created all things by the word of his power. In providence, he works all things after the counsel of his own will, of him, through him, and to him are all things. And he's great in salvation. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, in earth, seas, and everywhere else. Our God is the great God. You remember the lesson that God taught Nebuchadnezzar? He taught him that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, Lord God Almighty, what doest thou? That's the very lesson that he teaches us when he reveals himself unto us, that God is God. And that he's everything in salvation. Our great God and Savior does as he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases, and he is accountable to no one but himself. He works his sovereign will and purpose everywhere in heaven and in the earth and the seas and everywhere else. He works his purpose and he's never frustrated. A God whose purpose is frustrated, whose will is resisted, whose decrees are altered, is no God at all. God is God. He does not change. His will is not frustrated, cannot be resisted. His decrees are never altered. He said, I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I purposed it. I will do it. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? So, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. What a contrast between the Lord our God who does everything. The gods and idols of men can't do anything. They have eyes, they don't see. They have ears, they don't hear. They have hands, but they can't handle. They have feet, but they cannot walk. Our God is the living God. He works everything after his own will. Now, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he did. Now, I want to ask and answer this question. What do we read in the Word of God that it pleased the Lord to do? What does it say in the Word of God that it pleased the Lord to do? Well, here's the first reference. Find 1 Samuel. You remember from our study in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 12, verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it had pleased the Lord to make you his people. What did it please the Lord to do? It pleased the Lord to make you his people. He chose us. The Lord our God in sovereign mercy had chosen, elected a multitude of guilty sinners unto salvation from the beginning, and determined to save them in the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that the Bible doctrine of election. We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because the Lord hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation. When did this election take place? This election took place before the foundation of the world. God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Thank God he chose us before we were born. He never would have chosen us afterward. He chose us in love. He chose us in love. Did he choose us and then love us? No, he loved us. And because he loved us, he chose us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he is the elect. The Lord Jesus Christ is the elect. We're chosen in him. We're loved in him. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all that the Father hath given to me, they will come to me. Where do you get those people? The Lord often talked about his people, his sheep, those given to him in that covenant of grace. Where do you get those people? God, in that eternal covenant, chose a multitude of guilty sinners and gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He married them in that covenant. He's a surety and sacrifice of those covenant people, and they shall be saved. It pleased the Lord to choose a people unto salvation. Had he not chosen us, loved us in that covenant, we never would have believed the gospel. Never. The second thing we know is this. We looked at this here recently. Turn to Isaiah 53. God chose a people unto salvation, but something had to be done about their sin. So what had to be done about their sin? The Lord Jesus Christ took our sin to himself as our surety, and the Lord made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isaiah 53 verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What did it please the Lord to do? It pleased the Lord to impute our sin to our substitute. The Lord Jesus Christ stood as our surety, as our mediator. And the Lord God Almighty charged our sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when sin was found upon him, the wrath of God fell on him. And it pleased the Lord to provide for us a sacrifice. And it pleased the Lord to punish our sin in our substitute, who made satisfaction. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, there's his chosen. He shall prolong his days, the eternal Savior, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Thank God it pleased the Lord to provide for us a substitute. God said, this is my Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. We could not put away our sin. The deeds of the law could not put away our sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to take away our sin by taking our sin to himself. And it pleased the Lord. The wrath of God fell on him and bruised him. And he died under the weight and guilt of our sin, satisfying God's law and justice. Aren't you glad it pleased the Lord to bruise him? In Christ, we are crucified in Christ, risen in Christ, and seated in the Lord Jesus Christ. Substitute made satisfaction for our sin. The death of Christ was not a general atonement. It was a particular, definite, and effectual atonement only for the elect of God. Call his name, Savior, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He laid down his life for those sheep given to him in that covenant. Please the Lord to choose a people. It pleased the Lord to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ as our sin-bearing substitute who made complete satisfaction. Now here's the third thing. What did it please the Lord to do? Turn back to the text we read earlier, Colossians chapter 1. It pleased the Father, verse 19. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth and things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It pleased the Lord our God that all fullness, the fullness of salvation, the fullness of all spiritual blessing should dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased God. Look down in chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Aren't you glad all fullness is in him? Because of his fullness. You remember John 1:16? Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Aren't you glad all fullness is given to the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the fullness of salvation, the fullness of righteousness, the fullness of redemption. And because he's full of mercy, grace, and love, he gives that to us fully, completely. It pleased the Lord that in him should all fullness dwell. Every blessing that the Lord our God has for his covenant people is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to win Christ and be found in him. If all fullness is found in him, I want to be in him by his will and by his grace. Here's the fourth thing. Turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It pleased the Father to call out his people. How's he going to call them out? How's he going to quicken and call them out and make them new creatures in Christ? Here's what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, that's a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks is foolishness, but unto them which are called, called with what? With the gospel, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God. It pleased God to call out his people with the preaching of the gospel. His sheep will hear his voice and they will follow him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Now here's the fifth thing. What did it please the Lord to do? Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. When will a sinner be saved? I know what this religious world says. They say, make your decision for Jesus. They say, come forward and pray at the altar. They say, do this. They say, do that. But what does the word of God say? When will a sinner be saved? Galatians 1 verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When will a sinner be saved? When it pleases God to take the things of Christ and to reveal them unto his people. When it pleases God. Not when we turn over a new leaf. Not when we give our consent and our permission. Oh no. A sinner will be saved when it pleases God to save him by his grace. Salvation is by the free grace of God, not our will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Some people say, well, salvation is working together. It's his free grace and the sinner's free will working together. That's not so. A sinner's will is dead to God. Salvation is only by the grace of God. It takes God to reveal God. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in his sight. It pleased God to take us out of the kingdom of darkness and to translate us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Salvation is not being educated. We can educate people, but that's not regeneration. Salvation doesn't come, and it's not known by education, it's known by revelation. He reveals His Son in me. He called me by His grace and revealed His Son in me. Remember He told Peter, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ," and He said, "You're a blessed man. Flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but My Father which is in heaven." It pleased God to reveal the gospel unto us by His grace. We never would have figured it out. Never would have figured it out. He has to reveal it unto us. Thanks be unto our great God that is pleased to save sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that unspeakable gift of God. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what He did. Leads me to this conclusion, to God's people. What pleases God pleases them. Right? Isn't that pleasant when you think about those things? God choosing a people, Christ dying for those people, all fullness of all spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us out with the preaching of the gospel, and then He reveals Himself unto us. In the book revealed, what do we see? We see the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, may the Lord bless that to your heart.